Lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down. Father, we pray today that you'll help us do just that right there, Lord God, that you'll help us lay down, God, everything trying to overwhelm our hearts and minds, our lives, all the crazy spiritual warfare and the stirrings of people around us. Lord, we ask you, Lord, for your grace, for your strength. We pray in Jesus' name that you'll help us truly lay everything down at your feet and just call upon you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. I want to welcome everyone this morning here, those watching and listening. Everything working? Facebook's not broadcast. Well, that figures. Huh? But YouTube. All right. Yep, that figures. That's about the way this week has been going. That's not a shock. It was weird this morning, just trying to post on my ministry page on Facebook. I could post on my personal page. Wouldn't let me post the show or the service, but then it finally started working. But I've tried to post two different things and wouldn't post. And Facebook just said, oops, sorry. I'm like, what is that? I said, they got enough things are working for them to give me the oops, sorry message, but not the work. Just weird. Just crazy stuff's been going on. But I've entitled this morning, this message, and we're going to go through probably a lot of scriptures that I never have covered in this church since the beginning. But I've entitled this, When Your Heart is Overwhelmed. Now, let me just state at the outset of this is that I'm not talking about being totally, you know, a lot of Christians are totally ignorant, completely ignorant, about spiritual warfare, putting on their armor, binding demons, resisting demons, and you know, understanding the weapons of their warfare in Jesus' name and using them. But let me just go ahead and notify some folks out there, maybe you are new to this, that even if you know all that, and even if you do all that, I mean, knowing it and doing it is two different things too, but even if you do everything you know to do, and you are a spiritual warfare expert in the Bible and in Jesus, you are going to have seasons of intense spiritual warfare, and it won't feel good. Even after you do everything you know to do, you just have to stand. That's why the Bible says, having done all to stand, it's Ephesians 6, having done all to stand, what? Stand. Just stand. What is he saying? When it's all you could bear, don't let it knock you down. Don't let it crush you. And I just want everybody to know, and this is important for us to remind each other and to encourage each other, is that even the most spiritual, the most mature the most knowledgeable, the most anointed Christians sometimes feel overwhelmed by the spiritual warfare and the stuff, just the stuff going on around them in their life. There are things I can't even talk about. But let me just go on and tell you, and I know I have some fellow pastors out there and ministers out there that watch and listen, even in different countries, Australia, South Africa. Let me tell you, just add the ministry into that. Add pastoring into that, and sometimes it becomes almost unbearable. That's why right now, I'm going to tell you, there's an epidemic, I know in the West, of pastors quitting. Not retiring, not because of, and not fall, I'm not talking about the ones falling away because of some sin or scandal. I'm talking about the ones that said, "I can't do it anymore. I'm done." I mean, it's an alarming rate. I can't remember the numbers now, but I think it was Barna Group or somebody. I saw alarming rate because of this spiritual and mental. And sometimes it even gets physical oppression of the enemy. And you just feel like your heart is being crushed and overwhelmed. Can I say this morning? We need to understand as Christians that God allows this as part of the process to grow us, to mature us, and so that we'll be a people who, when things really get bad, because it says in Luke 21 that when we enter into the tribulation period, things are going to be so bad that men's hearts are going to be failing them for fear. Now, I'd rather have an overwhelmed heart than a heart that fails. You get what I'm saying? Now, that's not talking about somebody having a heart attack and dying. I mean, it can relate to that. But it's talking about when your heart fails or your heart faints is when you give up. When you say, "I can't do it anymore, I give up, I quit," and you just give in to the desire, the will, and the plans of Satan and his demons and the dark side. I'm just here today to tell you, I don't care what you feel like. I don't care what you go through. I don't even care. I mean, I do care, but what I'm saying is you can't let, even when you feel spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, in every way, when you feel overwhelmed, you got to make up your mind, "I'm not going to quit." See, many are going to fall away, not because they want to go back into sin. They're going to fall away because they just can't deal with the spiritual war anymore. And listen, a lot of the reason, I'm talking about Christians here, a lot of reason that even Christians run to drugs and alcohol, and even if they're legal drugs, the reason they do that is because they've gotten to a point where they just are overwhelmed spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and they refuse to understand that sometimes you just have to feel the pain. Sometimes you just have to go through the fire and not be delivered from the fire. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "God is able, our God is able to deliver us and keep us from being thrown into the fire. But even if not, King, what? We're not bowing down to your statue. We're not giving in. We're not quitting." And so they were thrown in the fire. And Jesus was in the fire with them. But they had to go through the fire. God didn't keep them from the fire. And that lesson is so important for Christians. He's not going to keep you from the fire of trials, oppression, attacks. You're not going to go through this life, you know, with the extreme word of faith prosperity message that nothing's going to harm you. And and Joel Osteen, every day is going to be, what is it, every day a Friday? Your best life now all the time? No. This is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, when we went into Asia, we despaired of life. He was talking about the oppression of the enemy was so bad that they thought, there's no way we're living through all this. And I'm just going to tell you too right now, that on this journey of walking with the Lord, especially if you're going to walk with Jesus in truth, if you're going to embrace the whole truth of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, if you're going to embrace the whole truth, you are going to have brothers and sisters in Christ, friends and family, turn against you. That's just the way it is. They're going to turn. Jesus said it. He said, don't be surprised. They hated me before they hated you. He said, many are going to be offended and hate one another and betray one another. And the love of many will wax cold, Matthew 24. And I've shared this before a few weeks ago, that love there is the agape love that only a Christian can have, because the Holy Spirit's come in there and put it in there. And he said, that love's going to grow cold. And many will be offended and hate one another, betray one another. This is where we are. There are a lot of people, there are Christians to a point. And if you dare talk about other things in the Bible that they don't want to talk about, then they become your enemy. That's just the way it is. Family members, friends, people you go to church with. And you guys, let me just go on and tell you, if you're in the ministry, if you are a pastor, and I don't care how big your ministry is, you face these, you have people that love you and think a lot of you, they probably think more of you than they should. I mean, you have these people that really, 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 really love you and think you're some kind of saint when you're not. And then you have people that really, 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 really hate you. And then you have people that love you for a little while, and then they end up hating you. Okay? And you have to deal with these extremes. I mean, in the same YouTube, for instance, video of one of our services, I can have people say, oh, this is the best message I've ever heard. It helped me so much, encouraged me, blessed me. I felt the presence of God on it. And right up under that, it'd be, you're a devil and a false prophet and a false teacher. This is life. This is the way it is. Right? But then sometimes, you know, we can act like, and even us ministers can act like, that these things never bother us. Right? We don't feel the power of these words, what the Bible calls the oppression of the enemy, the voice of the enemy. No, I'm going to assure you, all the hatred, all the words, all the curses, all the negativity, there is a spiritual force behind all of that. Boy, let me tell you. And sometimes it feels overwhelming. And you know, after we had the Alabama Chainsaw Massacre, what appeared to be in our house yesterday, and I will explain that. Yeah, the haters out there will take that and run with it, right? They'll take this out of context. But little Faith, poor little Faith, went to get the dogs in yesterday morning, as we let them come in the house pretty often. And I hear screaming back there. And she's like, blood is everywhere. I want out of here. it was so crazy. Well, she's part lab, but she looks like a little black lab, but she's smaller than even a normal sized black lab. And she always, it seems, this is her third tangle up with a vicious raccoon that I've killed one killed two now. I killed one this morning. You know you're a country boy when you killed raccoon before church, right? But I killed the one vicious little varmint this morning. They're vicious. I'm going to tell you something. Don't think they're little squirrels. They're not. They're not little cute little squirrels. They will chew your leg off. He wanted to chew mine off until I shot him in the head this morning. But he tried to chew our little jet black lab leg off. And this is the third time, and she was extreme. Must have hit an artery, because blood was shooting everywhere. And she came in the back porch, it's going everywhere. She comes into our back kitchen, it's going everywhere. Poor Faith trapped in there with them, screaming, I want out of here. We finally get back there, and oh gosh. And then, you know, vet's closed, and we're having to doctor her up, and she's trembling and shaking, and she's got bite wounds all over. And then, long story short, we got the blood stopped, the bleeding stopped, and we got her patched up and prayed for her. And she actually, it's a miracle, because she was gashed yesterday, and I'm telling you, it's, you can't hardly tell it on her leg that was just bleeding everywhere. So God has been merciful. But what I'm saying is that life, it just gets tough sometimes, you know. And we had that going on yesterday, and then all week long, there's things, like I said, there have been things with people and situations, some in the church, some outside of our church, that I can't even talk about. That's been just, I told my wife, I said, you know, I wish I could just retire sometimes and go hunt and fish, you know, that'd be nice. I don't see that happening, but I could just tell you, I finally got, after all that, you want to talk about, you know, trying to keep the other dogs out of the blood and the mess and everything. I mean, you sit there and you just go, okay, Lord. And again, that may not sound that bad. That's just one incident. But when you put that on top of everything, it was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back yesterday. I just went into prayer time and just said, Lord, I'm just completely spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and even physically overwhelmed right now. And I said, I'm telling you, I was thinking about, you know, and I know it's the warfare leading up to our conference and trying to write this book and just trying to minister to people all over. People are being touched by this ministry. They're being touched. They're being saved. They're being delivered. They're being, you know, we're seeing prodigals come home. We're, you know, I have to say, Jesus is moving. And sometimes that is absolutely the only reason that I can keep going, because it gets so overwhelming. There is so much. There is so much responsibility, and there is so much, so many needs and so many situations pulling from every direction, that it is just quite overwhelming. But the Lord is faithful. I'm going to tell you what he did. I'm just feeling spiritually oppressed, because I know the witches are going crazy. And I'm just feeling so oppressed and so tired yesterday. Oh, yeah. And the night before this incident, that was Saturday. So Friday night, I did not sleep at all. That's the kind of battle I've been in. I think I fell asleep. I went to bed, but then had to get up. Just could not sleep. I didn't go to sleep till 7 o'clock in the morning. And I slept for just a few hours then. And then I wake up to the jet situation, our dogs. I mean, just insane. But I started praying, and the Lord does this sometimes. I heard the Spirit of God say, Psalm 61. And so, and I got the psycho Marty Leeds sending me, waving at me on Skype and wanting to chat. The occultist guy right now. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is my life. Just insane. You see that? Am I making that up? Right? Oh, the occultist. There we go. The Freemason, Kabbalist, Gnostic, occultist is trying to contact me on Skype while I'm trying to preach. Oh, Lord have mercy. All right. But let's go to Psalm 61. I know some people wouldn't believe some of the stuff. If I actually told you some of the other stuff happened, you wouldn't believe me. You'd think, he's crazy. No, it's not crazy. But yeah, I'm going to chat with Marty here pretty soon. This is like the third time he's tried to contact me while I'm a busy person. But let's go. Psalm 61. So I'm having this prayer time yesterday, feeling quite overwhelmed by everything that's going on. And the Lord speaks to me. I hear him say, Psalm 61. So let's just read Psalm 61. He says this. He says, this is a psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. That's why I entitled this today, when your heart's overwhelmed. Because he said, I will cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. He's talking about the king. He's referring to himself, of course. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. What are your vows? What you promised God? To serve him, to obey him, to love him, to walk with him. Because that's what the devil's trying to stop. He's trying to stop our commitment and walk and faith and trust in Jesus and his word. That's what he wants us to lose. He wants us to lose hold of. And see, remember, and I was sharing this with a brother this week, again, a friend in a dire situation, just in a terrible situation with his just relationship and his business and just insanity going on around him. And he's a new Christian. And I had to remind him of the story of Job. You know, we forget that Job, you know, Job was a righteous man. He loved God. He tried to obey God. He tried to stay faithful to God, right? Be a righteous man, a holy man. And he did have great wisdom and revelation from God. He had a relationship with God. And the devil goes before the throne and says, Hey, God, look at Job over here. He only serves you because you bless him, because you blessed everything he has. Nothing goes wrong with his life. You've blessed his marital relationship. You've blessed him with children. They're grown. You've blessed him with flocks and riches. He's everything. He said, I can't touch anything he has because you put a hedge around it. I can't touch it. And so the devil says, hey, he only serves you, God, because you bless him. But let me put my hands on him and on his stuff, and he'll curse you to your face. See, this is the test. When things don't go the way you want them to go, or when it seems like the blessings are not there, and you enter into a fiery trial, a time of testing, you stop and say, well, wait a minute, God, I thought I was supposed to be blessed. Yeah, we are blessed. Many times over, we don't see things that we don't even see sometimes how we're blessed. We take it for granted. But there are going to be seasons where the devil says, hey, you know what? Sal and Daniela, they're only serving you, God, because you bless them. Let me mess with them. We'll see what happens. That's what he does all the time. And the Lord says, guess what the Lord says? Okay, go ahead. You know why? Because the Lord wants us to love him and serve him and keep our vows and our promises and our commitments, even when it doesn't appear we're being blessed. Even when our heart is overwhelmed, even when, you know, can you imagine? Job gets wind that everything he has is stolen from him. Then he gets news that a storm, a wind has come and killed all of his children. And he falls down. And what does he say? Now, this is not correct theology because the Lord didn't take it away from him. The Lord allowed it to happen. The devil's the thief and the killer. But Job says, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What's he saying there? The Lord blesses, and sometimes he doesn't. And Job's wife says, why do you hold your integrity? Curse God and die. She wasn't having a good day. We pick on her, but she wasn't. She was a grieving mother. But it says in there, if you read Job 1 and 2, what? In all this, everything that happened to Job, this is amazing, that he did not sin against God, not even with his mouth. He didn't falsely accuse God. He didn't scream and cry and complain and whine and fuss and curse. He just said, you know what? I trust that my God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the God of Gods and the Creator of heaven and earth. And even though what's going on around me is overwhelming, I trust him. And I'm sticking with him. That is why that story, and I believe it's a true story, not some made-up story or fairy tale or myth, but I believe that's why that story is so powerful and so needful at this time. There's too many people, listen, too many people and far too many Christians live the Christian life according to their feelings, their fleshly feelings or their emotions instead of in the spirit. If I went by my feelings, I've said this many times, if I went by my physical feelings sometimes, if I went by my emotional feelings sometimes, I would not be able to do anything. I would just run away and hide somewhere. Okay? I used to love the beach, but now there's flesh-eating bacteria, so I got to find something else to love to run away to. Right? Can't even get in the water anymore. I mean, I'm not even afraid of sharks, but now I got to worry about flesh-eating bacteria. Right? Well, I have a brother who came up the other week from down in Florida somewhere. He said he's 30 minutes from the beach, but he won't go swimming. You know? It's just, again, David said it. Let's turn to Psalm 55. We're going to look at a lot of Psalms today. Psalm 55. We'll start reading at verse 1 here. Hopefully they'll put it up here. Psalm 55. There it is. Verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint. That means that he's in oppression, heaviness. His spirit is heavy. That's what mourning means, heaviness. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because what? Why? Because of the voice of the enemy. The voice of the enemy. It's real. He says the oppression, the heaviness is from the voice of the enemy because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. Horror hath overwhelmed me. Now, I want you to think for a minute here and understand. He's saying because of the voice of the enemy and the oppression of the wicked. He's going to tell you it's the words of the wicked. But he talks about this anxiety and this oppression and this heaviness that's coming on him. And then he says this. I love the honesty of King David. He says, oh, that I had wings like a dove, and then I would fly away and be at rest. How many people say I would love to run away from my situation or my problem or my trial or this what I'm going through? I'd love to just run away and hide. I understand this. I understand this fully. But see, I want to tell you, some of you out there listening, listen, some of you are going through incredible, overwhelming situations, rejection, division, strife, betrayal, abandonment. You're going through all these kind of things, And it's real easy to try to run and hide into something else. Like so many people, and I'm going to tell you, this is very important to listen to. Some people, when a relationship, a marriage falls apart, and they're in such turmoil, what do they end up doing? The biggest mistake you can make is to run quickly into another relationship and not get over and deal with all the issues from the previous one. People run. I've seen people just jump. They go through a horrible divorce or a horrible situation. Maybe they didn't want it. It wasn't their desire. What I'm saying, and then, but because of the pain and because of the loneliness and the turmoil and the fear and they're overwhelmed, they run to some other person thinking that another person is going to make me feel better. But if you don't deal with the problems and all the issues and give some time for some healing, then you're going to carry all that into the next relationship. But that's just one thing. People do that in church. They get butt hurt in a church. Yes, I said it. Because they get rebuked or corrected, or something happens they don't like, or there's misunderstanding, or there's strife and division, or whatever. And they don't deal with the problem correctly, and then they run to another church, but they carry that with them. So the first thing that happens, somebody says something, does something wrong in the other church, they're already more sensitive, so boom, it's just going to happen again. And they'll run to another church, and it's going to happen again. Because they're not dealing with the root. So David talks about running. Look what he says. Verse 6 again. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. That Christians run into. There's a lot of secret Loratab takers. Can I just be honest? I know this for a fact. There's a lot of secret Loratab takers. Well, it's prescribed. Yeah. No. You got leftover pills from some surgery, and you run into them because you're going through a trouble. You're running to something. As people, you know, a lot of people run to alcohol or pot, marijuana. But they run to stuff. I'm just saying, you can either choose to run to those things when your heart is overwhelmed, or you can just keep running to Jesus and be patient and let him be your comfort and let him fix it. That's what Job did. He didn't run anywhere. He sat right down and he waited on God. He didn't turn against God. Now he had the questions, why is God letting this stuff happen to me? And that's okay to ask those questions. Why is this happening? Sometimes it is our fault. This particular situation, it wasn't Job's fault. But sometimes the stuff is our fault. We opened the door. We sinned or we did something. It's okay to say, why is this happening? Lord, show me. Did I do something? Or is this just a test? Is this just an attack? Is this just a trial I got to go through? Or is this trial and test because of my sin or my disobedience or rebellion? It's okay to ask that question. Just don't go running away from God. Run to him. You say, well, I run to him and I still feel heavy and oppressed and overwhelmed. Keep running to him. He will answer. Even though it seems like he bears long with you, he will answer. That's what I found. Is if you just keep going to him. The trial, let me say this. The trial doesn't always end when you want it to. But there will be an end to it. You hear me? If you run to him. If you run to something else, you will prolong and make it worse. I know this from doing it. Let's keep reading Psalm 55. It's good. He says, oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away and be at rest. Verse 7, lo, then I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof, mischief also and sorrow in their midst, wickedness in the midst thereof, deceit and guile depart not from her streets. And then he says this, interesting thing, for it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, my equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. So he's saying it wasn't just enemies. It was people I went to church with. Pretty clear, isn't it? And then he says this. Of course, David prays some pretty strong stuff. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwelling and among them. And look what he says, though. As for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. You see that? I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. This is not what I hear from many Christians when they're going through a trial. How many of you know when you run to something else other than God, you quit praying? Isn't it true? I'm telling you, a lot of people out there do this, run to other things. But David says, I'm going to cry to God in the evening and morning and noon. He's going to hear my voice. I will cry aloud. He shall hear my voice. Verse 18, he hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. So he says, God's going to deal with my enemies. Oh, yes. Is he going to deal with mine too? You know why? Not because I wish it upon them, but you reap what you sow. That's how come we know it. But he says here, God will deliver me. He has delivered my soul in peace. That's where you need to find your peace. Did you wait on God to give you peace, or did you pop a Loratab and suck down a six-pack? You can have counterfeit peace for a little while, but all that wears off. Right? I'm talking to somebody out there. I know I'm talking to somebody out there. Look what he says here. He's talking about those that coming against him. Verse 20, he hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. How many of you know there's some people out there that talk smooth, but they're really your enemy? Cast thy burden, here he tells you, cast thy burden upon the Lord, for he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Meaning maintain your walk with Jesus. Don't let it slip. You stay in him, in his righteousness, you will not be moved by the enemy. Keep reading here. Let's finish the last verse. He says, but thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Is that powerful or what? The oppression of the enemy. I looked at the word overwhelmed. It's overwhelming how many times it's in the Bible. It's in there a lot, especially in Psalms. And Psalms, again, was David's honesty. And the Holy Spirit inspired him to write his own honest story about his struggle, his spiritual struggle, his mental, emotional struggle, the struggle of his soul, even at times when his body was being afflicted because of what he was going through. That's why Psalms is so, it's such a powerful encourager. Go with me to Oh, let's go to Psalm. Let me see here. There's so many good ones here. Psalm 142. Y'all don't mind, see? We still, it's only 11:45, man. I'm doing good. Psalm 142. You get the same principle. Meaning, you're going to have times that your heart feels overwhelmed. What do you do with that? Let's read Psalm 142, verse 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. You ever had your spirit? You know, the Bible says we have a spirit and a soul and a body, and they're three very different and distinct things. Your spirit is really your heart. It's the area of where you have intimacy and worship with God. It's the place where you perceive God. It's the place where you worship. It's the place where your intuition and your conscience, that's the place of your spirit. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And then, of course, everybody knows what the flesh is. Trouble. Paul said, no good thing dwells in the flesh. Evil. It wants to do evil continually. So he says here, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, poured out my complaint in verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path, and the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. So, Lord, you know my path. You know where you're guiding me, where you're leading me, where I'm walking. And even with that, trying to walk with the Lord, he said, my enemies have laid a snare for me. They've laid a trap for me. There's traps. There's traps for you. You know that? There's traps waiting for you. Satan and his demons and even Satan's servants, people, have laid traps. If you're truly walking with God and serving Jesus, they are plotting against you. He says, but Lord, you know the path that I take. You know what's ahead in the path. That's why you need to seek God and not run to something else for your peace and comfort. Verse 4, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. My refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Now listen to this. Let me share this. Did David have family and people around him that loved him? Yes. But what he's saying is, I believe, is that this is not something, no one else can fix this for you when you are feeling overwhelmed. Not a husband, not a wife. Not a child. Nothing's going to fix it. That's why rich people are some of the most depressed people in the world. The richest people are depressed and suicidal. Their money, their riches, their wealth, their comfort, their ease. They may not have anxiety over financial matters, but Satan is still overwhelming them spiritually and mentally and emotionally. And they have no one that can fix it. And that's what I'm saying. There's no one that can fix this for you. You have to seek God for yourself. You have to know him for yourself. You have to press into him. My prayer life is not going to make up for your prayer life. You got to have your own prayer life. Now, yes, my prayers can help you, and praying for others helps them. But still, God will only do so much because he wants everyone individually to seek him and know him and have a relationship with him personally. That's what it means. Look, Christianity is all about this, is having a relationship with God through faith in Jesus, through faith in the blood of Jesus and his death on the cross and his resurrection that's made the way for us to have a renewed, powerful, real relationship with God that God wants us to maintain. How many of you know any true relationship has to be maintained? You can't just say, hey, well, what if Sal said, hey, we got married, honey, you know what? How many times have y'all been married a year, right? We got married a year ago. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to live in Atlanta, and you can live here, and we'll just, you know, I'll send you a text every now and then. Would that work for you, Daniela? No, absolutely not. Nor should it. What? that relationship, you prove you love her and that she loves you because you want to spend time together. You want to talk. You want to communicate. You want to do things that please each other. A relationship has to be maintained. You want a relationship with the Lord Jesus, with the Creator, with God Almighty? Can't be cheating on him. Cheating on him. People cheat on him with the devil, right? I love Jesus, but me and the devil got a date later. But that's what's beautiful about this. David had a relationship with God that was amazing. And look at verse 5. He says, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Anybody ever felt very low? Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Oh, see, there's humility here. Us Christians sometimes think we got the tiger by the tail, don't we, all the time? Oh, nothing can touch me. I'm good. Now, let me go and tell you right now. Your enemies are more powerful and stronger than you. So you better have Jesus with you. Because he's the only one stronger than your enemies. And I'm talking about the spiritual enemies and the physical enemies. And how many of you know that the spiritual warfare and the physical warfare are going to get more intense in the days ahead? Our enemies are stronger than us, but they are not stronger than the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Creator, the one who died on that cross and rose from the dead, God in the flesh. They're not stronger than him. And if you walk in him, you can use his name and you can call upon him and you can seek him and you can gain his power and his strength and he will fight for you. That's the good news when you feel overwhelmed. Don't forget that when your trial is over, if you stay faithful, if you keep walking with him, he will rise up and fight your enemy. That's the good news. Look what he says in verse 7. After he says, let's read verse 6 again. After he says, attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. He says, bring my soul, that's my mind, will, my emotions, out of prison. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. You will bless me. So this starts out like, I'm very low. My enemies are stronger than me. My spirit is overwhelmed. But Lord, you will, what? Bring me out. Ever felt like your soul was in a prison of darkness? Let's put that the definition of overwhelmed up here, since we're talking about that this morning. Overwhelmed. Look at this. This is ataf in Hebrew. It means here, what's interesting, it means to shroud, to clothe with darkness. You see that? To shroud or clothe. Hence from the idea of darkness, to languish, to fail. Man, let me tell you, it's not pleasant when your spirit feels like it's covered and shrouded in darkness and failing. Fainting. Have you ever felt that way? You just don't feel like, you feel like your spirit has no strength. Now, let me tell you, when you're spiritually weak, you're going to be mentally and emotionally weak. Let's look this up here. In fact, he talks about his heart fainting. Let's put up the word faint here. Did I send you that one? Yeah, that faileth. I'm sorry. Spirit faileth. It's kala. And it really what it means is to be spent up, to waste away, to be exhausted, to fail. Let's keep going. There's like three of them, I think. Yeah, basically to bring to the end, to cause to fail again, to exhaust. And then here's the Strong's. When he talks about my spirit faileth, he's talking about just being worn out. It's going to happen. So where do you get the recharge from? You don't get it from the 48-ounce Coronas, do you? I'm messing with some folks. You know, that's what you see in the movies, isn't it? Stressful news comes in, and the first thing you do is pour it in my drink. It's all over us, all the movies. And the worse the news, the stronger the liquor, right? Never fixed anything, and it never will. Let's look at one more. Why don't we? Let's look at verse Psalm 143. He talks about it in Psalm 144, Psalm 42, Psalm 43, Psalm 44. This will be the last one for today, hopefully. Remember, I'm Pentecostal, so I get three closings if needed. All right, let's read Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. Basically what he's saying there is, have mercy on me, because no man is without sin. No man can be justified in his own righteousness or goodness or by his own ability or will, sheer will. He says, for the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those who have been long dead. Well, this is somebody low. Look at that language there. The enemy has persecuted my soul. This is Satan, demons, demonic forces. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He has made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me is desolate. But what does he say he will do? He says, I will meditate. I will remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. I flee. Where is he? We're not denying we don't go through these times of being overwhelmed. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. The warfare is real. The feelings are real. The darkness is real. I can't remember the Hebrew word now. It may be kosek, or I may have that mixed up. But there's two different Hebrew words for darkness. And I do know this. One of them means darkness that can be felt. That was the darkness that came into Egypt that killed the firstborn. Darkness that can be felt. If you walk with the Lord for any amount of time, you know what I'm talking about. Let's keep reading. Where was I here? Let's see. Yeah. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me or make me alive. Fill me with your life, your power, your presence, O Lord. That's what quicken me means. For thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And thy mercy, and of thy mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. There's that warfare prayer for David right there. Really, let me just say this. The point of this whole thing, this whole message this morning, is just to say we don't walk in some kind of weird denial of reality. You will go through seasons of trial and testing and oppression and darkness. You will have people turn against you, forsake you, leave you, betray you, cheat you, lie to you, lie about you, hate you, divide from you. And I'm talking about just Christians. Imagine what the world does. They'll do any of that in a heartbeat to you. Family members. Jesus said, man's enemies will be those of his own household. Sometimes it gets real close to home. You know, I got a message from a brother. I didn't see it until this morning because he came in after I went to bed. But he comes home. Wife's gone. Took the kids. Didn't tell him. Of course, they were in the process of breaking up. I mean, he knew it was coming, but normally normal people go, hey, I'm going over here. The kids will be here. Come see the kids. Just disappears. Not going to let him see the kids until they go to court, which could be 90 days away from his children. He loves dearly. That's just evil. That's just evil. But see, that's what I'm saying. You can go to bed, wake up the next day, and people you thought loved you and were with you, gone. And you say, well, I didn't do anything to them, or not anything worth this. But this is just where Satan works. This is just life. People choose things, and it causes all kinds of stuff. Y'all, see, this is what I wake up to in the morning. And I feel for this brother because I know the pain he's going through right now. I can't even imagine waking up, and this guy loves his kids. I'm going to tell you this right now. He loves his kids. And waking up and going, I won't be able to find my children for 3 months. And he's trying to follow Jesus. This guy's trying to follow Jesus. So, get ready. So, well, Pastor Dean, everything's going great for me right now. I feel peaceful and love and joy and joyness. Man, I'm blessed. Everything I touch turns to gold. Good. Enjoy it. Just get ready. Because if you're walking with the Lord, you're walking with God, you name the name of Jesus Christ, you dare try to live it and preach it and witness to other people around you, you better get ready. The devil is out to stop you. And he will use everything and anybody he can, because he wants you to get so overwhelmed, so oppressed, so low, in such darkness, that he can get you to curse God and leave God. That's the whole thing. So that your witness and everything that you've stood for and everybody around you will fall apart, so that he can stop the light of the gospel and what Jesus is doing through you to others. That's the goal. There is a war between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. There's a war between these two kingdoms. And it's only going to intensify. Remember Jesus talked about the tares and the weed I shared a few weeks ago? He said they will both grow together until the end. That means the children of the wicked one will get more wicked. The children of the righteous will get more righteous. The maturity of both will be growing until the very end, until Jesus returns. So, when you feel dark, when you feel low, when you're feeling overwhelmed, don't run to something else. Run to Jesus. Even if it takes 3 or 4 times a day, run to Jesus and keep praying. And keep believing and stay faithful. Don't run to the Loratabs. Don't run to the six-pack. Don't run to the whiskey bottle. Don't run to the, what is it now, Xanax? Is that the new Valium? Whatever. Calm your nerves. Oh, Pastor Dean. Oh, yeah, most of it's weed, though, because now they all think that's okay. Oh, let me go take some weed. That makes me calm. Let me go smoke some weed. Well, find your peace in weed, I guess. I'm going to find my peace in Jesus. You really choose, don't you? I don't have to find a drug dealer, though, to find my Jesus, do I? Or grow it in the woods until the sheriff comes by with a helicopter and sees it. You know, out there where we live, a friend of mine lives like 2 miles away. This is when we were like teenagers. He was out, they were out goofing out in the woods. They found a whole field of marijuana. Called the sheriff. They had a heyday on that. Right down the road from them, whole field of it. Crazy. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. I know we've done this song a lot in recent, these last few weeks, but it's so good. We're going to do it again. Lay it all down before we leave this morning. Let's just worship him one more. I think it's 6 minutes. So we'll actually be out of here by around 12:15, that's unheard of. Worship the Lord if you're with us. Make sure you throw up that FBI. Very useful. Thank you. So they hit us with that one.
Your heart, hear the words and felt the fire.
Lay it all down.
down, lay it all down. Filled with all those angels now, and your doubts became your God. Lay it all down, lay it all down at the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus. Lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down. Lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down. Lay it all down, lay it all down. On better days, there are memories we can't erase. Lay it all down, lay it all down. When we come to fear, what we can't explain, and there's nothing here that can ease the pain. Lay it all down, lay it all down at the feet. At the feet of Jesus. Lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down. Lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down. Lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down.
That we can come to you and we can cast all our cares upon you, for you care for us, Lord. That's what you had the Apostle Paul instruct us, that we would cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. Or you had Peter write it too, Lord. We thank you that we can cast our cares upon you. We can trust you. We can seek you, and you will work it out. You will be with us through the fire. You will be with us in the trial, and you will bring us out of the trial. Because you are good and you are faithful. And we love you and we praise you today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to be dismissed. Hugs and necks before you leave. Those of you watching out there, register for Skyfall quick. seats are filling up. It's filling up.